Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1. We're blessed, aren't we?
Amen.
Praise God. We're going to pray here in a second, but we're going to go on in our spiritual gift series. Tonight we're going to finish up the revelation gifts. Of course, we've looked at the word of knowledge. We've looked at the word of wisdom. And now we're going to look at the discerning of spirits, which rounds out that category of the revelation gifts. Of course, there's power gifts and there's utterance gifts. We'll see if the Lord has us go on to the other six. I know we were supposed to do these three to start, and we'll see what He has for us. But tonight we'll talk about the discerning of spirits. And I do want to put this out there. There are people that are far more qualified to teach this subject than myself, but we'll look at some things. I'll share some things, and we'll get out of it what we can. Praise God. But Father, we love You tonight. We're so grateful, so thankful for Your Word. Father, we could never praise You enough. And Father, what's awesome about You is that this whole thing, this plan of redemption and salvation and help for us through the Word and the Spirit was Your idea. You thought of it all, Father, and that's just awesome because it's all filled with wonderful things. So we've always been on Your mind and Your heart. You love us so much. Thank You. And Father, help us tonight. Help us to say what needs to be said, to do what needs to be done. And Father, we're just so grateful and so thankful. Father, we love You, we praise You, we magnify You for all that You've given and all that You've done for us. Father, be God here tonight, and we glorify You in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, with these gifts of the Spirit, in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 1, let me just read the first verse. We won't read down through them all. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant." Or you could say it this way, "Now concerning things of the Spirit, I don't want you to be ignorant." He's saying, "I want you to be in the know." Well, we've seen the first two messages, well, actually it was three, Word of Knowledge was 2 weeks, that these things bless us, don't they? And the Bible says in verse 7, it says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit. So the move of the Holy Ghost is not meant to clear out the church. It's not meant to offend people or make people feel weird. It's meant to profit us. When God doesn't manifest, it's kind of like power in this room, you know, we could walk in tonight and lights would be off and, you know, we could complain about how we can't see anything and we're bumping into things and there's electricity here the whole time. But until you do and cooperate with that electricity, we don't benefit from it. It's the same with the Spirit. The Spirit's everywhere.
Yeah.
All the time. God is everywhere. I mean, he's in every sick room. The Spirit of God's everywhere. He's in every mental ward. People are struggling mentally. He's in every bad situation, right? But see, He doesn't manifest, or we don't benefit from that because we haven't plugged in or haven't tapped into that, you know? And it's kind of, you could just even use that watch thing, you know, that watch has a charger that you plug in. I can hook that charger up to the watch and it not charge it. But there's power to do that. Then I just got to plug it in. I got to tap in. Well, we want these gifts to manifest. You know, we've seen them in our services as we've been hungry. You know, there was a word on Sunday about a baby. And right after service, someone came up to me and just confirmed it. Praise God. Right in church. It was awesome. It caught me as just as much off guard as it did them, I'm sure. I wasn't thinking about that. But that's the kind of stuff we need where God just could be God. I don't plan on telling that to Reverend Scott tonight. My goodness. I mean, but it's something he can get his faith on now and latch on to. And it'll just be, what is that? It's a word of wisdom. Ray's coming. Well, that's true, and it will. I can't wait to hear the testimony. But these things, that profits us. And when he and I come back and testify to you about it or testify that someone confirmed that word, that profits us when we see those types of things. When we have, I mean, that day we had where the Lord called out the ear problems. But I've had testimonies concerning that along those lines. See, a lot of times people don't get to hear everything that I get to hear. But it's awesome. Like, these are things that I can't make up, that God just does. And it's because He's God and He's awesome. And so we want these things. And the Bible says we profit from them. And we know that they're as the Spirit wills. But we know that we can surely will the Spirit a lot more with our hunger. We can. It's as He wills, but see, here's the thing. It's what's interesting to me is that Brother Hagin would go into a church, he'd say, and in one set of meetings, he'd have 7 out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit. Well, you could say, man, the Spirit sure was willing. Right? Well, God's always willing, if the Spirit, the manifestation of the Spirit profits us, of course God would be willing to do that in church. That's where His people are. That's where His children are.
Yeah.
And but then we'd go a week later and not have one of them. And so he began to pray and fast and seek God, and the Lord said, the problem's not with you, it's with the people. Well, the Spirit was just as willing in the other church, but just wasn't able to move.
Yeah.
The Spirit's always willing. The Bible says the promises of God, which would include the gifts of the Spirit, are yes and amen. Our hunger turns the light switch on.
Amen.
You want to turn God on? Get hungry.
Amen.
Blessed are they. Well, blessing, what goes into blessing? Healing, prosperity, the gifts of the Spirit, signs, wonders, tongues, interpretation. I mean, all these things are blessed, part of the blessings of God.
Yeah.
Blessed are they which do hunger.
Amen.
And thirst after righteousness. We can't just be, ho-hum, whatever, we'll take it or leave it. Well, we can be like that church. You'd have thought, he must have been so excited going into that next church, saying, well, we just had 7 out of the 9 gifts of the Spirit going into that next church. What an opportunity missed by that church. What an opportunity missed by the people of Nazareth.
Yeah.
Jesus in his own hometown. Couldn't even do anything there.
Yeah.
Mighty work. Why? People held him back. How disappointing. How disappointing. So that's not going to be us. We're going to be a remnant in South Dayton, New York. Where the power of God's going to move. And I'll tell you, wait till this town gets word of it. We haven't even scratched the surface of this town. Everybody's from everywhere else here. Is there anyone here right now that lives in South Dayton in this building right now? No. There isn't. And if I asked on Sunday, it'd be maybe a hand or two would go up. We haven't even tapped in, but we're gonna. We're going to. Praise God. And I'll tell you, this is part of it. This is part of the plan. You know, with Reverend Greer services, talk about the end time, the flow of God, and being flowing with the Holy Ghost. This is part of getting that harvested. The increased manifestations, the multiplied manifestations. People are going to start talking.
Yep.
Signs and wonders and miracles are going to be the mark of this place. And those are going to be undeniable things. And people are going to have to come here.
Yeah.
Praise God. So we need to desire it. We need to ask. So we looked at the word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I'm not going to take time to review those. Word of knowledge, of course, we know is a supernatural revealing of something past or present that you otherwise would not have known unless God showed you. And the word of wisdom is a supernatural revealing of the future that you would have otherwise not known unless God showed you. Now we're going to look at the discerning of spirits in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's see here. It says in verse 10, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits. That word discern in the Greek means to see. That's what it means. The discerning of spirits, an easy definition, would be when God, I don't want to say it this way, when God supernaturally opens your senses to the spiritual realm, where He allows you to see into the spiritual realm. That's the discerning of spirits, to see into the spirit realm. And a lot of people get confused by that gift and things like that, and we'll hopefully be able to help you with that going forward and what it is, what it isn't. But real quick, one thing that it's kind of known as out of the revelation gifts, the three of them, the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom, and the discerning of spirits, it's often said that the discerning of spirits would be the least of the three. The least of the three gifts. And the reason being because that gift only deals with one area, and that's the spiritual realm. Whereas the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge deals with places, things, people. The discerning of spirits only deals with the realm of the spirit. So it's kind of limited in its scope. But truly, the greatest spiritual gift there is the one that's needed at the time. That really is what's the best gift. I mean, you can say the word of wisdom might be the best because it's the revealing of the plans and purposes of God. But I'll tell you what, the person that needs healing gets the gifts of healing. That's the best gift for that time.
Amen.
Person that's got the devil on them and someone can see that, a demon, and deal with that specific demon and cast that out. I'll tell you what, that's the best gift for that time.
Right.
Hallelujah. And so praise His holy name. Anyways, and so He opens up your senses to that, and it's just dealing with that spiritual realm. What's interesting about that spiritual realm is the Bible says that spiritual realm is what made this natural realm.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's good, right?
If we all, see, it doesn't seem real. It doesn't seem real to me in my head, in my flesh, because I live in the natural. I bump into things, right? I feel things. I can see things and touch things. But if God would permit us to look into the spiritual realm, we'd see there's a whole other world out there. There is. There's angels. There's demons. You'd see Jesus. You'd be able to see things that, wow, didn't know. I mean, if God permitted us to look in the spirit realm right now, oh, we'd probably all hit the dust. I mean, we'd see Jesus. We'd see angels. We'd see, hopefully, no devils. We don't let them into here, praise God, and take care of those things. But anyways, so that's what it is. And oftentimes, the gift gets misunderstood. Now remember, it's as the Spirit wills. It's like this, you know, if I went to the store, and let's say that I forgot my credit cards and my wallet, and something I wanted to buy was $20. Well, if I don't have that $20 on me, I can't use it. But if I'm carrying that $20 around, I can use it. Well, it's the same with these gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, as the Spirit wills. If you had these gifts, it'd be like you have a $20 bill. You can use it whenever you want if you had the gift. But you don't have the gift. And a lot of times people will say, I have the gift of discernment. Maybe you said it. No one's ever said it to me. So, well, no one in this church has ever said it to me. People have said that to me, but nobody here has said that to me. Maybe you've thought that. Maybe you've heard people say that I have the gift of discernment. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you, there ain't no such thing. In the Bible, you won't find it ever saying about a gift of discernment. And, you know, what people get it mixed up with a lot of times is they think they're perceptive, they're sensitive to spiritual things, or, you know, you heard a thing called like a woman's intuition. Well, that might be so, but it doesn't mean you have the discerning of spirits. The discerning of spirits is the see into the spiritual realm. And if I would be truthful, a lot of times people are just downright judgmental. And they think it's the gift of discerning. Well, they're just downright judgmental. John Wesley said this, which was interesting. He said, when people think they have the gift of discernment, he said, that's one gift that would be better off just wrapped up in a napkin and thrown away. Because a lot of times people just use that gift to go around judging one another or being critical of one another and throwing condemnation on one another. So it's not intuition. It's not perception. It's not being you're spiritually sensitive. No, it's when God supernaturally, as He wills, permits you to see into the spirit realm. And it's important that we know that, because I've had to tell them straight up, no, you don't have the gift of discernment. It's not in the Bible anywhere. You won't find it. You don't have that gift. Stop saying you have that gift. Praise God. And but, you know, a lot of people are just ignorant until they're not ignorant anymore. I know there's a whole lot of things I'm probably still ignorant on, but thank God for the stuff I do know. And so there's no such thing in the Bible. The other thing that's important to know, again, just kind of doing a quick overview, then we'll go over to the Bible and look at some examples. It's not called the discerning of devils. It's not, spirits aren't all bad. Angels are in the spirit realm, they're not bad. Jesus, if He were to appear to you, would appear to you in the spirit realm. He's not bad. It's not discerning of devils either. Now you can discern demons and demonic activity when that gift is in operation. But sometimes people think, well, it's just the discerning of devils, discerning of devils. Well, no, that's just not the case. It can be the case. Actually, I thought I had that gift strong in operation and thought I could see a whole lot of devils, and the Lord said, no, that was just people. That's not devils. Oh, well, man, they're sure acting like a devil. And a lot of times, unfortunately, it's with people within the church. Isn't that sad? I mean, we ought to be the most loving, the most generous, the most kind, the most honorable, the most integrity, the most character of anybody on planet Earth. And sometimes we're the cheapest, the rudest.
That's right.
Yeah, I thought, man, the gift of the discerning of spirits is an operation. No, that's just people. Oh, sorry, Lord. I thought I was looking at a devil. Nope, we're just looking at one of my children. You know what I'm talking about. I hope you, if we're not talking about you. We've all acted bad at times, I'm sure, but maybe we ought to not be that way. Praise God. So that's just a quick overview. Like I said, there's people that can teach this way better than I can, but let's go to the Bible and take a look at some examples of this, and we'll just see where the Lord leads us with some utterance and different things like that. But go to Exodus 33. Exodus 33. You know, one thing I'm mad at, that I was talking to Sarah about this before, she kind of relayed a story to me about steps and stuff. That watch tracked my steps. I'm stepping up here tonight, and I'm not going to get credit for any of this. It's not fair. It's not fair. Here I'm trying to hit a goal every day, and I got, you know what else I think? Talking about, that thing's not waterproof. In the shower, I do a little stepping when I sing and stuff. I don't get credit for that either. All these steps that the watch don't even know. Exodus 33 and verse 20. This is God speaking with Moses. You know, in John chapter 4, it says that God is a spirit. Yeah. That he's a spirit. It says, and he said, you cannot see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and you shall stand upon the rock. And it shall come to pass when my glory passes by that I'll put thee in a cleft. And I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. I'll take away my hand. You shall see my backside of me, but my face shall not be seen. Well, the Lord allowed Moses to look into the Spirit and see him. He didn't see his face, but he allowed him to look into the Spirit. That's the gift of the discerning of spirits, where God allows you to see it. And like I said, if that gift fell on all of us right now, we'd see Jesus in here. We'd see angels in here. That'd be quite awesome, right? And so that's what that is. Just real quick, wanted to show you that. Go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Again, we're not going to exhaust this either. We're just going to kind of do an overview on this. 2 Kings chapter 6, in verse 8, we're going to look at it. And then Lord is going to have me share a little bit of something, kind of a rabbit trail attached to this, but that will bless you. It says, the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that you pass not such a place, for thither the Syrians have come down. What was happening was God was revealing to Elisha where the Syrians would be, and so the Israelites would avoid where they're going to be, or set up attacks there, whatever. It's how many know it's good to know where the enemy's going to be before the... Yeah, that's an advantage. That's an advantage. You got an advantage on the inside of you.
Amen. That's good.
I mean, I don't mean to get on a soapbox here, but you have God on the inside of you. And it's the same way with power and electricity. Is a lot of times people don't recognize it, and so they don't ever get it.
Yeah.
He knows he's the Alpha and the Omega.
Yeah.
The beginning of the end, the one that loves you so much, he sent Jesus. Don't you think he would know every investment, every job, every person to marry, every house to buy, every vehicle to buy, what to stay away from? Don't you think he would know? Don't you think he would tell you?
Yeah.
Absolutely. There's times that something will happen late at night or something, or the next day, and I'll have missed it big time. And Courtney will say, I sat there and told you. I wasn't paying attention to her. You know? I was, you know, on my phone or watching the ball game, and she's talking. Come on, guys, y'all help me out here. Y'all know I'm not the only one. And then the next day, I missed something or didn't do something, or said I was going to do something, didn't do it, just kind of just like a robot zombie, you know, just talking back and saying, well, sure, honey, whatever. Right?
Yeah.
And I didn't pay attention, but if I'd have engaged in a conversation or made it a point to listen,
sure,
I wouldn't have gotten that trouble. It's the same with the Holy Ghost. Kind of talking about the scripture before, Psalm 35:27, the Lord takes pleasure in your prosperity. He'll show you how to get rich in this world. I don't mean necessarily to be Donald Trump type rich, but to a place where you will have more than enough, all your needs met, and enough left over, if you'll listen to him. Why would he not do that? Why would he not try to take you? But see, most times people don't have a lick of time for him to spend and to hear from him, or they're going through problems and situations they cannot solve. Don't you think he's got the answer?
Yeah.
Don't you think he's the all-knowing God? I mean, I don't think he's forgot how to be God. Right? Praise God. So anyways, so here, that's what's happening. God's revealing to people that he loves, showing them what's to come that can hurt you. And the king of Israel sent, verse 10, to the place which the man of God told him and warned of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. It's happened multiple times. Therefore, the heart of the king of Syria was troubled. He was upset. He's thinking, how do they know?
Yeah.
And this is what he thinks. He says, for this thing, then he called his servants and said to them, will you not show me which one of us is for the king of Israel? Basically saying, who's the mole? Which one of us here is a spy? Which one of us, not a spy, but which one of us is a traitor and not telling me who's telling this, the Israelites, where we're going to be, when we're going to be there? Because somehow they know. He said, who is it among us? And one of his servants, verse 12, said, none, my Lord. It's not any of us, O king, but it's Elisha, who's the prophet of God. The prophet that is in Israel, he tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber. That's awesome that God would show people that. Praise his holy name. There's been times, and again, I imagine it works for you, but the office of the gift of seeing and knowing, which word of wisdom, word of knowledge, that ought to operate in pastors' lives. I mean, Reverend Greer said that the other night, you ought to be inquiring the Lord about these things. It is such an advantage to parent by the word of wisdom or knowledge and to pastor. But there's been times that the Lord will just reveal the thoughts of somebody in the church or something they're going through, and I'll call them and talk to them and get them back on track and spare them from something they're going on. Well, that was God being so sweet. I'm laying there in bed or sitting there, not doing anything, and he starts telling me what people are thinking and what they're saying for the purpose to help you. Not so I can be weird, you know. But that's awesome that he does that for us. He'll do that for you. He'll do that for you. If you say it, if you endeavor to hear from God, supernatural activity will be a staple of your life. Because that spiritual realm is more real than the natural realm. That shouldn't be, oh, wow, that happened. That should be normal. God talking to you, God revealing things to you, God showing you things to come. If you'll pray in tongues, if you'll seek him, spend time in his presence, that spiritual realm will open up to you. Praise God. And you'll be glad you did. They said, no, Lord, it's Elisha. He's getting told everything you're speaking. Wow, what an advantage. I mean, some of you here maybe even have been recipients of when you needed a word at the right time. Pastor sent you a text. Exactly what you need. Well, I mean, that's great. You can kiss on me, hug on me, pat me on the back, but I'm just following God. Now, I do love you, and I'd love to do that, but there's been times where it's been strategic, where it's been perfect for what you need. Well, that's God. Give him the praise for that kind of stuff. Hallelujah. And again, those would be words of knowledge. For us, and knowing those things, that's why we crave these things. But anyways, he said, in verse 13, he said, go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, behold, he's in Dathan, or however you say that. In verse 14, there he sent horses and chariots and a great host, and they came by night and compassed the city about. So they're going to get rid of this prophet who's causing all these problems. Notice it said, when the servant of the man of God was risen early, the servant of Elisha, and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Basically, Elisha's servants got nervous. All of a sudden he sees, oh boy, they're on to us now. Look at all the horses and the chariots. We are in trouble. And he answered. See, what I love about this is that God was the one giving the king of Syrians words to Elisha. God's not going to do that to put Elisha in a bad place. God's not going to... Now, there's one or two ways you could have looked at this. This is goes back to faith, which it always does around here. You could look at that army, and you could get down and understand, well, I'm just following you, God, and the test came. Oh, we're in trouble now. Or you can realize, hey, wait a second. I'm only obeying God. He's bringing me into more. Now there's opposition. He's going to get me through this opposition too. There's one or two ways you can look at a test and trial when it arises.
That's right.
Because they're going to come. And how you look at it, how you respond, it matters. He said, what shall we do? Verse 16, he answered, said, fear not. Don't be afraid. For they that be with us are more than they that be with them. Well, what was he talking about? Because it was just Elisha and him. That's two against the whole chariot. Either Elisha knew something he didn't know, or Elisha needs to go back to math school. Right?
Yeah.
And Elisha prayed, said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes. Now, his eyes are already open. We're talking spiritual eyes. Remember, to discern is to see. Open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. And he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. What were they? Angels. An angelic army was there. And when they came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, smite the people. I pray thee with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. So they messed with the wrong people and they got in trouble. You know, I want to tell you. So basically what happened was Elisha said, pray and open the eyes. And he opened the eyes of the servant and there was a whole army on their side. I remember one time speaking of this. See, here's what you have to understand. When you're living right, and when you're doing the plan of God, and it doesn't mean you're perfect, but how many of you know when you miss it, the key is to repent and get back in as soon as possible.
Yeah.
We all are going to miss it, but get back in as fast as possible. But when you're living right, and you're doing the plan of God, you have favor. You have favor over the devil, and you have favor over the people of the world. That means when the world and the devil try to come against you, there's some avenging that needs to take place because they're messing with the wrong people.
That's right.
I want to tell a story. I was working at the after-school program, and it would have been 2001 or one, I think, two. No, it was way after that because I got born again and got. It was like maybe 8 or 9 years ago. Anyways, somewhere around there, and there was a problem with the janitors. They were smoking on school grounds, which. They can do what they want. They want to break the rules. But the problem was, to be not seen, they were closing up. See, their room went off a hallway of where the kindergarten room was. They had their big room where their John Deere and the snowblower and everything was kept. And then there was a door to go outside in the parking lot. Well, so they wouldn't be seen because they'd been talked to about it before. They closed the door and closed the door to the outside and then closed the door, obviously, into the school. And they would smoke. Well, the problem with that is the smoke goes places. And it was getting into where the kids were. Well, I can't let that happen, so I sweetly went and talked to him. I said, I know what's going on here. I said, I'm not the smoking police here, but I can't let you do this because of the kids. And they, well, okay, we'll stop, whatever. Well, they didn't stop. They kept doing it, and it would fill up the hallway. I had to go and take action, so I had to talk to the principal about it. Well, the principal talked to him and really kind of reprimanded him. Well, that night, the next night, this is crazy, they shut up their door to the outside, opened the door to the inside, and turned the tractor on and let it run.
Whoa.
With kids. I just filled the place. What in the world? And when I was walking down the hall with the kids, the janitor, now this would have been a word of knowledge, it wouldn't have been discerning spirits because I didn't see the demonic activity, but by the word of knowledge, I knew that he was had a devil on him. He jumped out at us with kindergarten kids and made a face and did something that, I mean, you can't even know how you can contort your face naturally, and kind of like was really mad at just the kids instantly started crying. And, well, that's interesting, you know. And so anyways, they got talked to, and because it was such a serious thing, well, they brought in their union guys, and they tried to pull me aside, kind of threaten me without threatening me, you know, one of those meetings, and I was stupid to go into this meeting with them, but I was caught off guard. I thought they were there to help me. They weren't. They were there to try to shut me up, and it ended up getting a mess, and he started accusing me of all these false things, and I remember sitting there in that meeting, and the Spirit of God said, it'll be taken care of. It'll be taken care of. And it wasn't a week later, and that guy that caused me all that problems had a heart attack, and was didn't die, but he was gone from the school. Lord, kind of take care. That mean Lord made him sick? I don't believe God has sickness to give, but I believe that there's a, when you mess with Christians and the judgment comes down and your wages of sin is death and things like that. Yeah. And he got a heart attack and never caused me a bit of problem anymore. That's why I'm saying if you're going through things and people are wronging you and you're not having favor, it doesn't seem like you're having favor and people are giving you a hard time, just know you have favor.
Right.
It will turn out. You know, in fact, I remember, I think I've told this story, but there was a young lady in Olean that told me about a problem she was having. And one thing I didn't mention that I did is I took authority over that in the name of Jesus. Because the devil was influencing this guy. And I just simply said what Brother Hagin taught us to do. In the name of Jesus, I command you to cease and desist your maneuvers against me at once. That's what Brother Hagin taught us to do. Take authority over the devil. So I did that, and then all that worked out in other ways. But then there was a young lady in Olean that was telling me about a young guy and a young girl that were giving her just the hardest time. Just being cruel, and you know, people can be so nasty. Well, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. And she told me about it, and I said, well, So let's just take authority over that in the name of Jesus. Let's take authority over that. I mean, they were causing her so much trouble. She's crying. I said, in the name of Jesus, I said, you agree with this now because you have more authority over your life than I have over your life, but you agree with me. I showed her some things in the Bible. She had authority. I said, in the name of Jesus, this was after a Saturday night service, in the name of Jesus, we command you, devil, to take your hands off this situation, to cease and desist your maneuvers against her at once. And we just started praising God for it. She came back one, two or three weeks later, I can't remember the time frame, and said, that guy moved to a different school, and this girl, since he moved, hadn't talked to me and done nothing to me since. God's good. You know, you have people troubling your kids. You have people being unreasonable to you at your job. People being unreasonable to you, whatever. Take authority over that. You know, people being unreasonable in business deals or whatever. Take authority over that. You have authority over that. Praise God. So anyways, I was saying that because here they messed with the wrong person and the janitor messed with the wrong person. But here's what I want you to see about this is that he opened their eyes and saw angels. Right here in this church when Kevin and Annie Durant were here, they ministered to me one night and said through tongues and interpretation of tongues, and remember, those that be for you, there's far more that be for you. And they said, start to use them. Well, I took that literally, you know, and I want to show you some things tonight real quick. We won't spend a whole lot of time, but you need to know this. Go with me to Matthew 18 and verse 10. Do you know that there's spiritual activity waiting on your beckon, waiting on your word, praise God, waiting to avenge things for you, waiting to move things out of the way for you, waiting to influence the right things that need to come into your path, but they're waiting on your word. Matthew 18 and verse 10, we're just going to look at a few things. Look what it says, take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven, what's the next word? There. They're what? Angels. Well, now, does the Bible come directly out and say that when you are born, you're assigned a guardian? It doesn't say it in those terms. But there's a whole lot of scriptural evidence, it's a verse I'm going to show you, that show that it's angels are assigned to us. They're angels. That is, if I say it's their vehicle, we know that belongs to them. Well, those angels belong to those little ones. Right? Praise God. That's awesome. And so that's one look into it. Go to Psalm 91 and verse 10. Again, we're just doing this real quick. Just trying to show you what's at your disposal. Because you might not be able to see them, but it doesn't mean they're not there. I've had many times where the word of knowledge has been in operation, where I've known about angelic assistance, I just never got to see them into the spirit realm. I never was permitted to see them, but I knew by the word of knowledge, angels just handled that. I mean, I knew that, actually, I'll tell you a story. I was walking my dogs, this happened just a few weeks ago, walking my dogs, and I'm walking down a hill with the both of them, and I'm going down a hill that is kind of an intersection is going to T there. It's a real busy intersection, especially in the morning, people driving to work and things going into Lakewood. And I see a group of 7 or 8 deer coming running off the hill, and they're getting ready to bomb down into that road. And I just knew that is not going to be good because of the traffic going by, and the people driving can't see it because it's up on this hill. And I just, it was instantly, I knew to dispatch angels, and I knew that there, and I just knew in the spirit there was more than one there. And I just, out of nowhere, and I'd be interested to find out, asking my pastor if the gift of faith, which we'll look at possibly, if that was an operation, because inside I just said, angels, go and get those deer. As soon as I said that, I kid you not, all deer that were running stopped and ran back the other way. As soon as I said, angels, go and stop them, because I just, it was like I knew in a split second. It was like I wasn't even operating out of my own thought life, because it happened so quick, I'm not even smart enough to. I would have been like, oh, look at the deer, smash. I'm just telling you the truth, if it was me, because I just get, when I see a deer, I'm like, oh. That's just how I am with deer. I love them. Even though I do kill them, I love them. I don't just love to kill them. And it was like, I just knew to do it, and I just knew that when I said it, it was going to happen. It was like, I didn't even question it. I said, angels, go and stop them. And bam, they just all stopped and snow flew up. And boom, all of them, like in a line, turned around and went back the other way. It was awesome. Angels. And so the word of knowledge is operated that way. But see, just because you can't see angels, and I'm going to show you some more verses of how you see that they're here for us, but Psalm 91 and verse, what did I say, 10? It says, "There shall no evil befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over you." His angels. Spiritual. If you could look in the spirit, you'd see them. Oh, I'd love to see what they did. Did they pinch the deer? Did they pretend? Did the angels all of a sudden look like people with orange and guns? Like hunters? I don't know what made them stop. But they stopped. Praise. I just think of these things all the time, and then I just have to share what I'm thinking. Because you need to be let into. I mean, it's a magical world up here. You don't even know what's going on up here, and so we need to let you in on some things. I mean, praise God. You can put me on an island just myself. I'll have a good enough time with my imagination. I'll just be all right. He says, "They shall bear you up in their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone." Praise God. They will bear you up in their hands. I don't know. I've had a couple of instances where that's happened. Where there was one time I was driving home from this church. I had my mom's car. I can't remember what was happening to our car, but it was a nice, shiny, little sports car-looking thing. And I was going a little too fast on the road from Kennedy to Frewsburg. I was going. And a deer jumped out. And I have no idea, and maybe you've been in situations like this, on planet Earth, naturally, how it did not hit that car. I didn't slow down. I didn't swerve. I didn't have time. It was like, I just don't even know. It's almost like it looked like the deer went through it. I know it didn't, but didn't hit the car. Well, what was that? Angels charge over you. And what was amazing that day that happened, I called Courtney and I said, "You're not going to believe what just happened." I told her, she goes, 10 minutes ago, the Holy Spirit told me to pray for you. And to pray for your protection. Well, dispatched angels. Praise God. And that's happened numerous times. Maybe you have your own stories. Well, some of those things that you shouldn't have been spared from, that you were, probably were angels bearing you up in their hands. Amen. Lest you dash your foot against a stone. Psalm 34 and verse 7. Praise God. Amen. So, some of these things just you can't chalk up to coincidence. Right. You know, I mean, when deer are running and halt all of a sudden, there's no reason for them to halt. That's not just coincidence. When animals look like they should be smashing into you and for some reason they're not, that's not coincidence. And you all have your own stories of protection and safety and things. Psalm 34:7, it says, "The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivers them." Praise God. The angel of the Lord. Now Hebrews 2 and verse 13, this is what I want you to see. Don't mean to spend too much time on this. Hebrews 2 and verse 13. We need to start taking advantage of these. Yeah. Hebrews 2 and verse 13 says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until I make your enemies the footstool'?" You know what the answer to that is? None. None of the angels he told to sit at my right hand. But guess who he did tell to sit at his right hand? Jesus. Yeah. Guess who else he did? Us. Aren't we raised up? Yes. Made to sit with Jesus? Yes. Hebrews 2 and verse 13. Hebrews 2 and verse 13. Well, then he goes on in verse 14 and says, Hebrews 1 and verse 13. Are they not all, verse 14? See, that's just how my brain works. Chapter 2 is right under this verse. I thought, then that just must be chapter 2. No, it's before chapter 2. That would mean chapter 1. That's just how my head works. I see a 2 there, and the verses above, I think, they must just go together. But this is how the Bible works. That's not how the Bible works. I do read my Bible. I know all this stuff. But he says, "Are they not all," what, angels, "ministering spirits, sent forth to minister or serve for them who shall be heirs of salvation?" Well, guess what you are? An heir of salvation. Angels are waiting for your call. Just like a waiter or a waitress. "Excuse me, miss. Excuse me, sir. Would you come over here? I would like to get more water, or more pop, or dessert, or whatever. Can we have our check?" They hearken at your word, and they go at your word. They come at your word and go at your word. Psalm 103, verse 20, and that'll be the last place I look for this portion here, and then we'll go on, and we don't have a whole lot left to cover. Psalm 103, verse 20. I know a lot of this is kind of off the track of discerning of spirits, but it seemed good in my spirit to go there and to make mention. If If the discerning of spirits was used to show that angels are around, well, even if we don't get that gift, they're still here.
Yes.
Psalms 103, verse 20. Okay, so 104 is below it. So yes, it's 103. 20 is above it. It says, "Bless the Lord, you His angels that excel in strength, that do His commandments." Notice this. "Hearkening unto the voice of His word." Well, who's here speaking His word? God's not. Jesus isn't. We are the ones hearkening. They're here to set forth the minister, not to Jesus or God. They're here to set forth the minister to heirs of salvation. For us. Praise God. Every day when Caleb, well, I pray this over my kids generally, but every day before he goes to school, he'll tell you, we're praying in the vehicle. I'll say, "Father, I thank you. He's protected. I thank you angels go before him in that school. They bear him up in their hands, lest he dash his foot against a stone. No evil will befall my children, and no plague will come near their dwelling." What am I doing? I'm speaking his word, and I say, "The angel of the Lord camps round about my children. They form a hedge of protection." Well, they hearken. When I do that, they have to listen. They are bound by the Christian who speaks the word of God. Because you're above angels. Because what angel did he ever say to sit at my right hand? None. But he told you and me to sit there. Told us, you and me, that we're heirs, co-heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Praise God. So we have them at our disposal. Brother Hagin taught us how to get money. Satan, take, I claim whatever amount of money I need. Satan, take your hands off it. Now angels, go forth. I'll tell you, I've been doing that since I've learned it. And this church has been supernaturally blessed. Owen's been supernaturally blessed. Our personal life's been supernaturally blessed. Because the Bible says that men will give into your bosom. Well, sometimes men need a little poke in the ribs. Or a little urging. Right? Same with the harvest. Angels, Satan, take your hands off the harvest. Angels, go forth and cause people to be supernaturally blessed and drawn to this church. Influence them to come here. Yeah. It's the same thing. Get them working for you. Command the money to come. Tell Satan to take his hands off your money and command the money to come. Angels, go forth and cause it to come. Well, they're ministering spirits. Praise God. 1 Samuel 3 and verse 1. This will be the last portion of scripture we look at. And then I'm going to tell you your pastor's one and only experience with the discerning of spirits that I had. As far as I know it happened that one time, but as far as I know, it's the only time I can really think of that it happened. I've been thinking of different experiences, and I don't think it would qualify as discerning of spirits. So 1 Samuel 3 in verse 1, let me get there here. It says, "And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, there was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see, he went to sleep. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep too." So we have two guys here, Samuel and Eli. "Then the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, Here am I." So if Samuel is answering, he's obviously hearing something in the natural realm. He's hearing it. He says, "Here am I." And Samuel, notice what he did though. He got up and ran unto Eli. But the Bible says in verse 4, it was the Lord that called. He ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for you called me." And he said, "I didn't call you." Eli said, "That wasn't me." He said, "Lie down again." He went and laid down. Verse 6. And the Lord called yet again. Remember, it was the Lord. He said, "Samuel." Samuel rose and went to Eli again and said, "Here am I. You called me. What's going on? What do you want?" That's my translation. "Let me sleep. What are you doing?" And he answered and said, "I called not, my son. Lie down again. I didn't call you. Go back to bed." Now Samuel, this is Samuel, the Lord, the Lord's calling, did not yet know the Lord, neither the word of the Lord that yet revealed in him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli. Evidently he's hearing this voice in Eli's, or hearing this in Eli's voice. And it was God's. Isn't that amazing? Reverend Greer would say that when this would work with him, he'd hear Brother Hagin's voice. It was something familiar to him that he knew. I believe Pastor Michael says he hears it in his own voice. When Lord talks to him in an audible voice, he hears it in his own voice. Anyways, we see that scriptural precedence here that he thought it was another man's voice. And he said, "Here am I, for you did call me." Now Eli's like, "I didn't call him. I know Samuel's not nuts." He perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he shall call you, if he does it again, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant here. So Samuel went and laid down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as the other time, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And you can read the rest of that. But the point I wanted to make was that not only can you see into the spirit realm, but you can hear into that realm. God opens up the senses. And, you know, you hear testimonies and things of people that have smelled. Remember, Scott has a testimony. Smelled into that realm one time. Smelled a demonic spirit and took authority over that. You woke up in the middle of the night and smelled it. The Lord revealed to you through a word of knowledge what it was, and discerning spirits, he knew what it was, could smell into that realm, rebuked it, and the smell went away. Praise God. But it's discerning spirits, opening up your senses to that realm. Well, here he opened up his ears. Well, here you want to hear your pastor's one and only experience of discerning spirits? I'll make it fast. It would have been the fall of 2002. I got born again in January of 2002. Finally, after 2 years and 26 jobs, I just wanted to get life experience. 26 jobs in like 5 colleges. It was stupid. Dumbest thing ever. And I had gotten born again. I've told this, I think, but the last job that I ever quit, being a scoundrel, I was actually born again, and I wanted out of it. I was a waiter at a restaurant at the airport, and I told them that I was dying of a disease. I did. Because Pastor Tim, I worked with someone that was dating Pastor Tim's brother, and she was working there. Pastor Tim called and said, What's wrong with you? My mom just told me you're dying. I said, no, there's nothing wrong with me. And I was in line with Courtney's parents at Sam's Club. And this was... Early on, you know, I'm still trying to impress them or whatever, and I'm in line with them, and my baseball coach from past, super loud, because he's like, Mikey, you're alive! I'm like, I didn't know what he was talking about. He's like, I heard that you were dying. I'm like, dog, over here. Come over here. I yanked him over here. I'm like, oh, I'm all good. Everything's good. Thanks for thinking of me. Gave him a hug, and we're out of my way. I didn't want them to know, you know, but that was the last job I ever quit. I got a job at the general store in Falconer, New York, opening the store in the morning, getting the coffee ready, running the cash register. I was actually faithful. When God moves in, something changes. God had taken up residency in it. And something about quitting that job was different than quitting all 25 other ones. The other ones, I was like, get me out of there. I'm so glad. I'm all right. I didn't care what I did. Poor Courtney, I had her call, lie, talk about how many times my grandma died. I'm telling you, I quit all a lot of jobs because grandma just kept dying. Got to go to grandma. I know! Pray for me! Oh, man. It chooses the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you the truth. That's what happened. And but I got a job. I was faithful at it. You all know, well, most of you should know the story. This was a true fear of mine that I wasn't going to sell out to God because I was afraid I was going to send me on the mission field to China or Africa. And I don't know which one would have troubled me more. And I was staying away from getting serious about God because I just thought that when you get serious about God, your life's over and it's going to be miserable. And that's what the devil tells people to keep them. And that's what the devil was telling me to keep me from selling out because he knew if I'd sell out, everything good was going to start happening. Yeah. But I was so afraid to sell out to God for that fear. Well, I just was sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm hearing all this preaching from January to fall of being blessed and prosperous and healthy, and it's not showing up in my life. And the Lord said, if you'll be willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of the land. Well, I wasn't willing or obedient. I wasn't selling out. I was so scared. So finally, I was driving there one morning at 4 o'clock, 4:30 in the morning. And I said, Father, I'm done living like this. I'm tired of things breaking down on my body, my finances, my mind, everything. I'm done. I said, I will go to China. I will go to Africa. I don't care what it is. I will do it. And I meant it. I meant business. Finally, my word meant something. And he knew it. And it was shortly after that, I can't remember, it might have been a week later, or the next service I was in. I can't remember, I didn't think back then to write these things down. I just know it was close. That I was in a service in Fredonia, sitting probably towards the front third of the church, and Pastor Michael did his salvation call, and he said with the heads bowed and eyes closed, and I remember I had just told God, I'll do whatever you want me to do. See, when you surrender, there's freedom. We're Wednesday night, so you guys are the ones that are going to come back no matter what I say. I mean, you came out on a cold night, rainy night, and so we could. What is it that's between you and God that you're unwilling to do? That thing's hindering you. Doesn't mean you'll have to do it. But what is it stands between you and God? So, Lord, I'd never do that. I'll never do it. Don't have any of that stuff in your life. That's a roadblock. I mean, you can if you don't really want to progress with God and get all that you can from Him. Oh, that's dumb. Why not get everything that He has for us? So just surrender. See, the truth was, if it was China or Africa, it would have been the most money I'd ever had. It would have been the most health and the most protection would have been over at those places. Because that would have been the will of God. So if there's anything, you need to consecrate. You need to have a Garden of Gethsemane moment. A consecration of, Lord, I'll do whatever. Whatever you want, Lord. Because there's things that people say, I won't do that. Don't ask me to do that, Lord. Well, that'll get you into trouble. That'll get you into trouble. And so anyways, I committed. And I was in a service. And I was there. Hold a second. And I'm in the salvation call. And I had committed to God. And I'm working at the general store. And I knew I had a call in my life. You know, what's interesting is you know these things in your heart. Again, I'm not trying to be crude or glorify the past. But I remember with Pastor Tim, who's pastoring two family churches now and just tearing the devil up, running a Bible school, being in the woods with him with cases of beer, just him and I. We had a moment, we looked at each other and we said, what are we doing? We knew there was something more. But even back then, like, what are we doing? We were the ones that when people were rolling the joints with Bible paper at parties, we were the ones saying, you're not going to be happy about doing that someday in life. Like, we were as drunk as can be and high off whatever, telling people and preaching to them. You know, a lot of power and authority that would have. But anyways, there was always something in there. Just, that ain't right. We'd be sitting around a fire and we'd think, oh, I don't want to burn forever, you know, but we didn't really know anything. But anyway, so I knew I had a call and I'm seeking God, I'll do whatever. I'm just faithfully working at the general store. And I'm sitting in a service, a salvation call, and Pastor Michael says, heads bowed and eyes closed. And I heard as clear as day, out loud, go to Rhema. Well, I thought, because it was as real to me as anybody could hear it. But see, the Lord permitted me to hear into the spiritual realm. Now, I don't know whose voice it was. I don't even remember if it sounded like anyone's I know. I don't know if it was the voice of God. I don't know if it was the voice of an angel, voice of Jesus. I don't know. But I heard out loud, go to Rhema. Well, my head shot up, because I thought, who in the world is talking while he's praying? Because usually that's the time everybody's quiet. And I'm literally doing this in my seat. Pastor Michael's got his eyes closed. He's just pacing up front. So obviously, if I was doing a salvation call and somebody yelled something out, that's going to trip the flow a little bit. People are going to look up. Maybe the minister's going to stop. Nothing stopped. He's just going right out. I look, everybody's heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Well, at that point, I knew it was God, and every hair on my body stood up, and I started crying. Because I knew I had heard the voice of God. Well, whether it was said, I knew it was from God, you know. He permitted me to hear in the spiritual realm. Go to Rhema. I now had direction for my life. Praise God. Not your pastors. Well, no, but you know what's interesting is God didn't start speaking to me until I got serious. What's the point of speaking to someone that's not going to do anything? Because if you had told me to go to Rhema before I consecrated, I said, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm not going there. But once you tell him you're going to do anything, either you're a liar or you're going to keep your word. Well, he knew I meant it. She said, okay, now I can tell him. What is being withheld from your life because of your unwillingness? I mean, that's not to condemn you. That's to give you hope. What's being withheld from your life because you're not being obedient or you're not being willing? He just wants to get, and he's not going to deal with you about taking you greater until you deal with those things. Praise God. I just think it's interesting that my life started to open up after I surrendered and meant it. And just committed to him. I heard, go to Rhema. So I talked to my pastor and he said, "You, the gift of the discerning of spirits operated in your life and you got to hear it." He showed me these verses. I said, wow, that's real? You can actually hear from God out loud? It's the only time I ever know that I heard the audible. Now I've heard the authoritative voice of God in my heart. But the only time I heard it audibly out loud was at that time. But that's my experience with that. Amen? And I'll tell you what, it was awesome. Because it was an anchor to my soul when I went to Rhema and all the stuff that I went through when I was there and getting there and staying there and different things. So thank God for these gifts. Amen. Who knows if I would have gone with just an inkling to go in my heart. I think it would have taken more for me at that time. See, God knows what you need. Praise God at the time. So hallelujah. So anyways, let's believe God for the gifts of the Spirit. If he permits us to be using these, praise God, it's for a purpose and a reason. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the word tonight.